Definitely good to see so many out this morning, and we hope, trust, and pray you've had a good week. Very eventful week for all of us, but, you know, as I think about the times we're in, I think about how this is really nothing new for our society. I think back to the time of our early Christians when, for fear of their lives, they had to worship in catacombs and places like that. But one of the things that we see, that worship still continued. So I know, Lord, God's people will be always be faithful to Him no matter what society throws at them. You know, as I think about our society, before I get into my lesson, just how there's a sense of panic. You know, and I was reading something on social media, I believe it was, I'm pretty sure it was, that, you know, kind of made sense. If that many folks were worried about their souls, maybe we'd be living in a better world in the first place.
Amen.
Instead of running down tissue and hand sanitizer, that doesn't clean your soul. Clorox wipes don't wipe away sin. But you see this in our world from time to time. You see this era of panic. And what should the mindset of a Christian be? Well, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be prudent. We shouldn't be wise. And as you notice, some of the changes that we've made, at least temporarily, kind of take that into consideration. But should we really be fearful for whatever this world throws at us? Should we be anxious for anything? When Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 says, be anxious for nothing. So I'm going to spend some time this morning just giving us a little bit of a shot in the arm with our courage. Because if you turn around, and please, if you turn on the TV, every channel is consumed with it.
Yes.
Act like it's the, you know, the worst thing. And I understand it's pretty serious. I'm not trying to minimize it at all. But y'all do realize you've been through this before, right? You realize we're going to go through it again, right? You realize that pestilences and diseases and things have always been a part while we're on this earth. So, again, using wisdom, but also maybe it's a chance for us to really show where our faith lies, and that is in Christ. The lesson this morning is entitled The Power of Courage. Turn me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse number 5 and read down through verse number 8. But we'll sit down on verse number 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse number 5. And then we're going to slow down around, put the brakes on right around verse number 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And it reads this. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stirrest up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be now not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. The power of courage. And when you think about courage, many folks, they say they have courage, but we're going to just nail that definition down a little bit, because some people have a misconstrued or misunderstood definition of courage. Courage doesn't mean that you jump off a building with no parachute. Courage doesn't mean that you go 200 miles an hour down the road just because you think you're brave enough. So that's not courage. So courage involves wisdom. It involves common sense. But we should have it. And the Bible tells us here that God doesn't give us some things that we carry around all the time. It invades our thought life. It invades how we live our lives. It invades how we react to one another. But it said that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now notice it said a spirit. When you think about a spirit, it is something that is alive. It is something that is mobile. It is something that can consume your whole body. Don't you understand that fear can paralyze you? Anxiety can paralyze you. All these things don't come from God, as it tells us. So he didn't give us this spirit. So we know, and we'll look at where it comes from. One of the most important things needed in our society today is courage. Lack of courage to face life's challenges results in a dysfunctional society. Dysfunctional individuals and dysfunctional society. Look at our society today. It's based on individuals who, again, live their lives, you know, worried about things, scared about things, fearful about things. Is that how God really wants his children to live? I don't think so. This kind of emotional and mental paralysis does not come from God. It doesn't come from it. If you're suffering from it, it does not come from God. It comes from you and also Satan acting on these thoughts in our life. Discouragement, think about this up, opens up the door to all kinds of spiritual attacks from Satan. When he gets us discouraged, he really got us what we want. The absence of courage or the leaving of courage. Because then we no longer look up. You know, most times when folks, you give the, if I were to draw a picture, put a picture of somebody who's discouraged, you'd probably see them with their head down. You'd probably see them with a wrinkle in their brow. All these things that sometimes that we look at for discouragement, but is the exact opposite of courage or encouragement. So discouragement is dangerous to us. Do we go through it from time to time? Yes. But it should be moments that of discouragement that we go through, not a lifestyle of discouragement. That's something wrong with that picture if you realize you're a child of the King. We all have discouraging moments, but to live a life of discouragement, that ought not be if we really understand who we are in God's eyes. Courage, as I said before, is not recklessness. Those who always take risks are more thrill seekers than courageous. And oftentimes those things end up bad. Think about this now. Courage is the inner ability to move forward in life in spite of life's obstacles, not in the absence of them. Many of us think we can have courage when everything goes right, but guess what? Ain't never going to happen. Many of us think our courage will improve or we'll be encouraged when everybody acts right. Well, guess what? That's not going to happen either. So it's in the presence, not the absence of these things, to achieve life's goal. Courage is not the same thing as being fearless, because fearlessness can lead to stupidity. Fearlessness can lead to bad consequences in many respects. But courage is a little different. Courage is the ability to go on in the presence of crippling fears. That's what courage is. So we know that the Bible doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but it gives us the spirit of courage, as it tells us, and power, and love and a sound mind. So courage is something that we ought to live our lives by. Not because of who was in us, but because of who's on our side. Yes. So as we live every day in our society today, never forget that we're children of the King and we have something that the world really doesn't have in many respects. Now I know the Bible says he reigns on the just as well as the unjust, but there are so many other blessings that are in Christ Jesus that sometimes we forget. You know, some of you know my example. I'm not going to use that in a while, but if you remember it, just act like you ain't heard it before. You know, I went to the beach when I was in maybe high school, the first, second year in college, and there was a cold commotion. Commotion was bad. Now, I'm up on the second floor balcony looking out at the beach. Now, everybody takes off running. I take off running, too. Why was I running? Why didn't I just go back in the room? Panic makes cowards out of all of us. We lose our common sense when fear is there. And I thought about it. I done ran half a mile away from the safest place there was because everybody else was running. Maybe you've done the same thing before in your own life. Maybe you looked at it and you realize and you forget that you're in a safe condition, but because everybody else is running, you run. Because everybody else is fearful, you become fearful. Because everybody else is afraid, you become afraid. That's not the life that God wants us to live. So courage is not it. Courage is the ability to go on. There are three pillars of courage I want to go over to help us understand this. There's two ways that we handle difficulties in life. One way is shortcuts and compromises. The second way is conviction and perseverance. How we or he chooses determines the outcome or the end result. All of us have challenges. All of us have problems. All of us have things that we want to get better at. All of us have things that we're struggling with. How do you look at them? If all you look at them as if they're just problems and weighing you down, you're going to miss the point. If all you see is trouble ahead, if all you see is negativity and anxiety and discouragement and depression, some of the things that we struggle with, then that's part of the problem. Because that's the way you begin to see, it begins to taint everything in your life to the point where you and I can't see blessings. We sometimes lose focus of that in our lives, and especially at times like this. So how we look at it, it's the same as looking at the possibilities or dwelling on the problems. The longer you dwell on the problems, the longer you stay in that woe is me stays, the worse your problem gets. You ever notice that? Because it can get real big within your own head, right? Within your own thought life. Most of our problems become mountains because of our thought life. And all we do is sit and dwell on them, and we sometimes forget to look at the possibilities. We sometimes forget to look about, well, guess what? I have God on my side. We sometimes forget that the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. We sometimes forget that. And then we become discouraged. We become downtrodden. Anxiety kicks in. We don't want to move. All kinds of things. I'm not saying that this is always the situation, but it does add to some underlying conditions in our life. So we can't really rule out the fact that it causes a lot of problems in our life. So it's the same as this. Attitude. What is your attitude towards life? Think about that for a moment. Think about your overall attitude for each and every day. Is it one day for you to get better and be closer to God? Or is it one more day to deal with the troubles of this world? Which one is it? Some self-examination. Do you always see the glass is half empty with a hole in the bottom? Or do you see the glass is half full and God is steadily pouring to the point where your cup will overrun at one point in time? What is your outlook on life? And then the second part of that is, maybe, just maybe, that's why you're in the situation you're in right now. It does make a difference about how we look at things. So attitude, do we focus on our own limitations or God's awesome power? Because you and I are limited. That's just beyond. We got limited strength. We got limited resources. We got limited time. But God is not confined to our limits. So why do we try to put him in our box and confine him to our 24-hour day? Confine him to the money we got in our wallet. Confine him to the situation or what the doctor says. Why do we do those things? We serve a God whose power is limitless. Why do we fret so? And this is what I really want us to encourage and think about. Because guess what? The world at times like this needs to see Christians standing on their faith. They need that. And we have a chance to be powerful witnesses for God. If someone believes he can't, it causes them not to try as hard. We see it all the time in school. When the kid struggles with something, the first thing they say is, I can't do it. But you know what it means right there? That means they're not even going to try eventually anymore. They'll shut it down. But guess what? Adults do that too, don't they?
Yes, sir.
We do it in a heartbeat. So it matters how we look at it. Negative beliefs and self-talk will always zap us of our positive attitude. What's your thought like? What are you dwelling on? Courageous people can cope with any circumstance. Not because of you, because of the God that we serve. And if God's not there for us in those situations, what kind of God do you have? What kind of God are you serving? He's there for times. He specializes in stuff like this. He specializes in times when everybody else is running to and fro with fear and anxiety. He specializes in those things. So if he does, do you think he wants his spiritual children not to be the same way? Courageous people are never without hope because their hope is in God. We have folks now just panicking. All hope is lost. Guess what? It's been lost in this world, but not in God. If your hope is in this world, no wonder people are running around here like chickens with the head cut off and buying up toilet paper. I don't understand how that works. Maybe I kind of do, but I'm young. I'm still wet behind the ears. But I grew up in times when a Sears Roebuck book did the trick. Y'all know what I'm talking about in the outhouse, right? I've been there before. You had some paper cuts, but it was clean. So why are we worried about stuff like that? Don't panic about stuff like that. Don't go out here and just get a whole six cases of it because everybody else is. I'm just telling us to increase our anxiety because when the last roll is gone, you think you need to get six more rolls. And somebody said that if you need that much toilet paper, you should see a doctor first. Courageous people are never without hope because their hope is God. Belief. Second pillar is belief. True faith in God allows us to access God's belief system. That's what he's talking about here. That's what he's telling Timothy. That was part of the gift that was supposed to be stirred up from time to time. Think about that for a moment. Do you believe and speak on what God says in His Word? But then, because then it activates, it puts some things in motion for us. Is there anything too hard for God? Think about that for a moment. Are your problems too much for God? But we treat it as such. But guess what? The moment you do is the moment it becomes reality. Because Christ says this in many instances, in Scripture. According to your faith, be it unto you. So where's your faith? Where's our faith? Let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, we're going to pick up verse number 20. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 20. And it reads as such. And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head." And another disciple said unto him, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." But Jesus said unto him, "Follow me and let the dead bury the dead." And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Verse 27 says this, "But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So if the winds and sea obey him, don't you think he can handle what we're dealing with now? But notice what he accused his apostles of doing. Fearful. Oh, ye of little faith. We ought not live a lie based on faith. Wisdom, yes. Prudence, yes. But faith, fearfulness, absolutely not. Now, he was on the board with them. What did they forget? Sometimes we forget who Jesus is in our life, don't we? And we're worried about it and stressing. And he's asleep in the bottom of our spiritual boat. Like, what's all the commotion about? What you crying about? What you afraid of? What you stressed about? Do you not know that God's on board? Do you not know that he can speak some things into existence? So we see here that they had the same problem we do. Psalms 56 and 1 says this, "When I'm afraid, I will trust in you, God." This type of belief allows Christians to rejoice even when trials come upon us. That's the mindset we ought to take in every day. Not this particular time of what we're dealing with our society, but every day of our life. We have a right to be filled with courage. Courageous people expect trial and view them as opportunities to show faith and a chance to grow spiritually. Many of us look at our past problems and issues like somehow, someway, God done us wrong. But why don't we look at it as it was, a chance for us to grow, a chance for us to draw closer to God? Sometimes we don't. And sometimes when that happens, we become bitter. And it taints everything in our life. But courageous people expect things to come. We was in a wonderful men's fellowship yesterday morning. Something that that was said, I'm trying to see if I can word it right. They said, "Attempt great things and expect great help from God." Think about that for a moment. Because we fail to attempt great things, God really can't do anything great in our lives. We limit God truly in our lives. They are always aware that God is near and with them. God will never put more on us than we can bear with his help. Converted souls are able to live gloriously in the middle, not the absence of trial. We ought to be the most joyous people on this world, because guess what? If it never gets better, guess what? If none of us are here next week, and I'm not trying to say this being funny, but we ought to understand it really does get better for us, right? If you're faithful. If you're not here next week and I'm not here next week, then I ought to be somewhere to live faithfully and righteously, resting from my labors with the Master. That's what the world doesn't have. We have that assurance if we're faithful. And then the third pillar is expectations. Anticipation is the final pillar of courage. What is anticipation? God-based hope. Christians. Notice I said God-based hope, not your hope. Your hope is limited. Hope allows us to continue on because of victory in the final outcome. Courageous people understand that the most positive and rewarding approach is the opportunity to fight on. Now you may say, well, what do you mean? Life's a fight? But don't you understand, really, if you think about it, we've already have been given the victory over this world and the world, things in the world. So we're fighting, and all God's asking us to do is finish. He's taking care of the results. He's taking care of the small details. He's taking care of the big prize. He just says, finish the course. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep serving me. Don't walk away when things get tough. Don't give up and become disheartened because life throws a few problems at him. I like what Paul says. I think it's in 2 Corinthians. He says, but I light afflictions, but for a moment. Compared to eternity, everything on this world is light afflictions. Coronavirus is light afflictions compared to eternity. No need to stress out about it. Live it. As I said, use some wisdom. Be prudent. But we shouldn't be living in fear. And that's the attitude that God wants us to have. We never perform or work above our expectations. You know, one of the things I jumped on a coach baseball to the end of the season, but we're getting ready to play a game. It's a very good team. Been a good team for years. It was Thursday. Brother Wilson can tell you. And the thing that made me the maddest was we had a pitcher. He's a pretty good pitcher. Pretty good pitcher. He throws and he's got some heat on it. The first thing that come out of one of my players' mouth is, I'm scared. I said, you know what? You're never going to play another inning for me. That's it. I can't coach fear. And neither can God. And neither can God. He can't do anything with fear because fear paralyzes. So I jumped him over and told him about it after the game and talked to him about it. But at that point in time, he had already lost the battle. The moment we let fear creep in, we've already lost the battle. So if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you can't. The belief of failure then becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's many of our biggest issues. When we say we can't, or we say it's not going to get any better, or we say we can't do any better, then guess what's going to happen? Life's going to give you exactly what you expect. That's it. Change expectations, change the course. The worst consequence of negative thinking is a broken spirit. If you stay in that particular ballpark long enough, it will break your spirit. Your spirit to live, your spirit to improve, your spirit that things will change, even your spirit of faith in God will change because you've been there too long. That's what happens to us. And that's why God says he didn't give it to us. He gave us the spirit of fear, power and love and a sound mind. Now think about that in terms of what we're dealing with today. Are many folks thinking soundly? No, because if so, they wouldn't be fighting over paper towels and Clorox cleanups in Walmart's parking lot. They're not thinking soundly. They panic. Panic doesn't allow you to think soundly. We as Christians, we need to operate by this our entire lives. Power, love, and a sound mind. Don't lose your mind when everybody else does. So it's the worst consequence. Courage alone is not enough in this life. It is the support of all other things in life. It is the action part of our belief. It allows us to exhibit true faith in our lives. It allows us to do what we believe. Are you doing what you believe? Are you living by it? We say we believe it, but where's our action? Where are our works to back that up? Courage, think about this, is that internal prodding that causes us to move and act upon what we know to be true. That's what courage is. Examples of courage in the Bible, I have a chance to go over these. Abraham heeding God's call to leave the land of Ur. David and Goliath. Joshua and Israel taking over the promised land. Paul and his missionary journeys. And definitely Daniel in the lion's den. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid of them, for the Lord is your God. He is the one with you. He will never leave nor forsake you. Christ gave us the same problem in Matthew 28 and verse 20. Character study of Daniel, when you have time to do it, it's an awesome character study. Because he did. He disciplined his body. He knew there were going to be consequences, but he never turned his back on God. Nothing for God will ever be accomplished without courage. Courage is the key to standing up for our beliefs in God. A shortage of courage can cost us in many ways. It cost Aaron major heartache because he didn't have the courage to stand up to the people's demands when they built that golden calf. And then he said, it just came out like this, and I'm paraphrasing it, just came out the fire like this. He didn't have the courage to say no. This still happens today. A lack of courage will also cause many not to obey the gospel. A lack of courage will cause many to leave the faith and in return lose their souls. So the conclusion is this. Truth is, in closing, some days we're going to have a little bit more courage than others, right? Some days you're on cloud 9, and some days you're on cloud negative 9. That's just the ebbs and flow of life. Self-satisfaction and self-hatred are mortal enemies of courage. If you hate yourself, you don't have any courage. If you don't look and see the blessing that is in you, you don't have it. Sometimes we become self-satisfied, and then pride kicks in. And that's not good either. Self-acceptance promotes good mental and spiritual health. What does that mean? That means you look at things honestly. You realize that I need some help. You realize that I'm working, I'm getting there, but you don't have to do it by yourself. There's somebody working with unseen hands, working things out for you. So what are we stressed about? There's somebody who's already in tomorrow, already in the next week, already in the next year, preparing for times you ain't even made it to yet. So why are we stressed? Why are we stressed? God already knows what's going to happen tomorrow, the next day. And if sometime I have to tell myself when I'm up, worrying at night, I have to remind myself of this. Somebody need to get some sleep. So God, you take it from here. Let me close my eyes and quiet my mind a little bit. You ever done it? It works. That means stop taking it back from God when you give it to him. Because we do it oftentimes, don't we? We say we pray, we say we give it to God. If he ain't moving fast enough, in the right direction, we become Indian givers. Some of y'all know what that means. They don't say that too much anymore. But you become Indian givers. You take it right back. And there you are sitting crying for some help. And you took the problem back that God was going to help you with. And he ain't going to snatch it from your hands. You know that, right? You're going to have to give it to him if you want him to fix it. Courage is at the heart and soul of the word encouragement. It's also in discouragement. It all depends on how you look at it. Taking hold of God's courage will help us to live courageously. In this day, no matter what the day holds, it allows us to live as God wants us to live. In final closing, Paul again exhorts and encourages Timothy to stir up the gift of God that was in him. And he says this. Why does he say this to Timothy? Because evidently Timothy was fearful of some stuff. He was afraid of some stuff. He was worrying about some stuff. And he says, that didn't come from me, Timothy. If that's pervading your life and invading your life and controlling your life, let me say this. That doesn't come from God. That comes from you and Satan. That's where it comes from. His number one tool is discouragement. Because that opens up the door to everybody else. He can get you to be discouraged. He can even get you to look at this thing called Christianity as nothing more than a hoax. There's no such thing as God. There's no such thing as God. And why do these things happen? Why am I all kind of stuff that happens. When that happens, we become discouraged and we stop looking up and begin to look down. And when we look down, if you know anything about life, you can't see where you're going if your head's down. I don't know how many times I've tripped over stuff because my head wasn't up. I almost tripped over a bucket of balls on practice on Wednesday because I was out there yelling at a kid and my head was down. So I was about to throw a ball at him, but I didn't. I kept it together. But I about tripped over my leg. Think about it. You got to watch where you're at. You can't lose your cool to the point where you trip and fall in life. That's what anger does. You trip over stuff and make a mess and you don't even know it. And you don't even hurt to the next day because you know when that adrenaline pumping, you'll feel it the next day. So again, maybe I've encouraged some folks today. Maybe I've helped us along the way. Maybe I've given you some things that maybe you can help those folks in the world. And we as Christians, we're special people. We're not better, we're just special because of the condition and relationship we're in. Somebody once told me Christians aren't better. They're just a little bit better off because of Jesus. That's it. That's it. We have somebody on our side. So you've not obeyed the gospel. Why not take that opportunity today? It takes courage to stand on God's truth. But guess what? It's going to judge us in the end. It's going to judge us in the end. If we know what the Bible says and don't do it, what excuse will we have before a faithful God? You read it yourself. You know. We can try to explain and rationalize the way all we want to. But in His plan is we hear the gospel. Believe what we have heard. Repent of our sins. Confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And then we're baptized for the remission of our sins. You may say, well, Brother Parker, I know, but I did. Does it line up with Scripture? Well, not quite line up with Scripture, but I feel. Does it line up with Scripture? Well, I think. Nobody asked you what you thought. Does it line up with Scripture? That's what matters the most. And then from time to time, life honestly has a way of zapping us of our courage. But then we have to read scriptures like this, what he told Timothy. Remember where it came from. Remember that you can overcome it. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We're overcomers because of what Christ did for us. In this life and the world to come, we ought to be living joyously and with just as much joy in our heart this time, next year, next month, next decade as we live today. Because of the God that we serve. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism.